from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't expect any props here. Today's gospel lesson is strange if you look at it in its totality. It starts out with the Greeks. The Greeks come to Philip and say, "We want to see Jesus." Philip goes to Andrew. Andrew and Philip go to Jesus. Now we assume that when they go to Jesus, they say, "Hey, the Greeks, they want to meet you." And then Jesus starts. What kind of answer is that? They just wanted to come see you. And then you have this long, convoluted, theological explanation that has nothing to do with the Greeks coming over and saying, "Hi, nice to meet you." So little Timmy Conroy decided it was time to leave home. At the very wise age of 5, he had decided that the world was indeed an unjust place. You see, the clothes that he had left lying on the floor around the hamper hadn't been there that long. And the whole idea of losing a day's television privilege because of those clothes being there just seemed highly unfair. And so he packed a lunch and off he went. Mr. Monroe went to the park every day. He lived with his son. His life, while it wasn't unraveling, wasn't what it used to be. He was having trouble remembering things. And so he wasn't allowed to really go anywhere. He was no longer allowed to drive. So he would take the half block walk to the park. And he would sit on the park bench. And he would feed the birds. As he sat there feeding the birds, he noticed this little boy coming with a bag in his hand. And Timmy sat on the bench next to him because he was kind of interested in the birds. He had never seen so many birds in one place before. And so Timmy just sat quietly and watched, and the old man fed the birds, and they didn't say much to each other. And Timmy remembered that he had his lunch that he had packed, and he was getting a little hungry watching all those birds eat, and so he took out his sandwich. He began to eat it. Mr. Monroe looked over and saw him eating the sandwich. They made eye contact, and Timmy, always remembering to be polite, handed Mr. Monroe the other half of the sandwich. And they sat together and ate. And Mr. Monroe asked him if he'd be interested in feeding the birds, and he really was because it seemed so neat. And so Mr. Monroe handed him some of the bird seed, and together they sat there for about an hour feeding the birds. Then Timmy decided that his plan to move on out into the world really wasn't such a good idea. And so he told Mr. Monroe he needed to go home. When he got home, his mother was a little concerned because he had been away so long, and normally he had said where he was going to be, and so she asked where he was, and he said he went to the park, and he was feeding the birds. She said, "Well, what were you feeding the birds with?" He said, "Well, a nice man was there, and he gave me some bird seed." I said, "Well, you should never, ever talk to strangers, Timmy." He said, "It's okay, because it was Jesus." And Mr. Monroe went home, and he met his son when he came home from work, and he said, "I had the most interesting day today." He said, "You did?" He said, "I had lunch with Jesus. I didn't know he was that young." I'd like to meet Jesus. I don't think it was just the Greeks who were asking that question. I think it's a question that had probably gone on in a number of places and forums during Jesus' time. And I think it really is a question that many of us have either asked outwardly or within our hearts from time to time. I'd like to meet Jesus. In South Korea, about 75 miles north of Seoul, I believe, the International Association of the Red Cross had gathered because there was some horrible flooding going on. And Jeong Kin-il was one of those volunteers. He was a farmer from the local province who had come to help because the flooding had been fairly devastating and was still very active. And as he was going along the river line, he heard some cries and he looked out and he saw this small house in the middle of the flooded river with two children in the window. At this point, the water was about up to his waist, and so he waded across. He grabbed the little girl who was 2 years old and slowly made his way from the house then back to the shore. Despite his exhaustion, he turned around and waded back through the water, which was now up to his chest, and grabbed the five-year-old boy and struggled for a long time, but made it back to the shore and was able to hand the little boy off to somebody who was waiting on the shoreline. And then he was swept away, never to be seen again. They saw Jesus. Because Jesus was alive and well in the actions and in the life of that Korean farmer. As he was able to look and see the situation and understand exactly what it was that God was calling him to do at that moment, to be able to reach out and to use what he had, every ounce of energy that he had within his body, to rescue those two children. You see, the greatest gift that we have ever been given is the very gift of our lives. And our lives aren't just simply something that we are meant to live. But our lives really are something that God intends us to give. When the Greeks came to Philip and said, "We want to see Jesus," and Jesus began to explain what life was going to be like over these next few weeks, it was very clear that Jesus' expectation was built within the fact that the lives that we have aren't things that we were meant to hold on to. But our lives were gifts that we are meant to give for the sake of others. Is the reality of our relationship with God. That this gift that God gives us is one that calls us forth to be able to use those things that we have, not for ourselves, but for the world around us. And to be the face of Jesus in those places that we go. If you look around within this small community, you can see the face of Jesus alive and well in what people do and in what people give. Within the working of the folks who take hammers and nails at Habitat for Humanity, there you see the face of Jesus. For those who reach out to people and go into a hospice setting to visit those who are in the very last moments of their lives, there you see the face of Jesus. When you take your food and you gather it together and you give it to people who find themselves in a position in life where food isn't just something that we like to savor, but it is a necessity for survival, there you see the face of Jesus. When you go next door to be able to help a neighbor with a task that that neighbor cannot do on their own, nor that they can afford to be able to hire somebody else to do. When you walk into their world, there they see the face of Jesus. Because when we take our lives and we live our lives in a manner in which we are able to give what we have to the world around us, people have that opportunity, if they so wish within their minds, to see the face of Jesus. Because when we live our lives in that manner for which Christ set before us, when we understand that we are called to go out into this world and to use what God has blessed us with for the betterment of the world around us, we bring Jesus into those settings. We allow the world to see and understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. We allow people to see the love that can exist within the world simply through what we give. Because what we give shows to the world how life is meant to be lived. And so when the Greeks come forth and they say, we want to see Jesus, we have the opportunity within our worlds to show them exactly what and who Jesus is in this world here today, some 2,000 years after those men came and asked to see Jesus. Tyler McClough, an 8-year-old boy who was woken up in the middle of the night hearing some strange noises, and as he looked out, he saw his grandfather's trailer in the backyard of his property on fire. He ran to the trailer because there was just more than his grandfather in there. In fact, the trailer was overpacked with people. There were 7 people staying there. And he roused the 6 people who were there, and then he went to get his grandfather because his grandfather was disabled. They found Taylor and his grandfather after the fire was extinguished. He had his arms underneath him to carry him out of the trailer. An 8-year-old boy trying to carry a disabled man. Because that love that he had was so great that he knew there was nothing he was willing not to do to be able to help his grandfather. And that is the relationship that Jesus has with this world and the relationship that he calls us into. To be able to go out into this world and to give everything that we have. Not to love our lives, but to be willing to lose our lives for the sake of the world around us. To be able to share what God has blessed us with to make this world a better place, to improve the quality of life for individuals and for collective situations we find ourselves in. To be able to use all that we have, all that God has blessed us with, to step out into this world. And to allow the world through us to see the face of Jesus in what we say and what we do. Nothing more, nothing less. Simply giving that life that God has blessed us with and living it in a way that the world can see through us the face of Jesus. God calls us to live our lives that manner. To be able to share the lives that we have. And to be willing to stop at nothing. To allow the world to see the face of Jesus through what we say and through what we do.